listening to Mind, Body, and Spirit on 88.7 The River, local radio at its best. I'm your host, Erin Kearse. We are here today with Lori Stoney. We're talking about conscious uncoupling. We're talking about separation and divorce. We're talking about how to do it in a way that is as little damage and as little suffering to the people involved, especially kids, if there's kids involved, as possible. Thank you so much for joining me here today, Lori.
Oh, thanks, Erin. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
We have known each other for a very long time. And I'm so excited you're on today. We've actually tried to do this a few times. So finally, we nailed it. But I remember the first time I met you, I was doing your hair. And the stylist that you normally had, I don't know, something happened with him. So you ended up with me. And you were stuck with me. And we were having a great little chat. And I found out that you were a divorce lawyer. And I said, are you taking new clients? And you very graciously took me under your wing. And it, you know, it for an experience to be as difficult as it was, you made it so much more comfortable. And I felt safe with you. So thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
And it's funny because recently you and I wasn't there, but you and my husband and your partner were all at an event. I think it was Big Brothers Big Sisters in Guelph or something, and or Fergus. And my husband was introducing you to his friends. And he said, oh, this is Lori. She's mine and Erin mine and Erin's divorce lawyer. His friends are like, oh my God, is something happening that we don't know about? Like, what's going on? And then he had to explain that, well, first you were my divorce lawyer. And of course, we're friends. And then I referred him to you. I've referred a lot of people to you. I don't know if they all make it through. And sometimes it's a case they just need some information to kind of validate the direction they're going. But I'm grateful for the support you gave my husband. And I'm grateful for the support that you've given my friends as well that I've sent to you. So just in opening, can you tell people a little bit about what motivated you to become a lawyer and choose family law? What were some of the struggles that you had? Because I know there's going to be people out there that are having experiences like they're going through divorce, but there's also people who are trying to find their way through life and trying to decide what direction they want to go and what career they want to choose. What motivated you to get into this industry?
I think there's an extremely long answer to that question.
So that's okay. We got a bit of time.
I'm going to try my best to sort of synthesize it. So I'm a child of divorce twice over. My parents separated when I was around 10 or 11. My mother repartnered, and that second marriage broke down when I was around 21. So I was in my sort of halfway through my undergrad studies. So those experiences were very, very, well, traumatic, right?
Sure.
For lack of a better
word.
There's
no other way of saying it.
No other way to really explain it. And the second breakdown left a very, very big impression on me in terms of understanding that the adults in my world really did not know what they were doing with me, right? As a young emerging adult. And I really was motivated to get a career, be able to take care of myself and my family. And I was never going to be put in that type of vulnerable financial position that we found ourselves in at that time. So I wanted a career. I wasn't entirely sure that it was going to be law. I kind of had a wish, I had a hope, but you know, it's difficult to gain admission to law school and all these other things. But I persevered, I guess, if you could put it that way. And eventually I did get admitted to law school at University of Windsor. And I went there and I had really no idea what I was going to encounter. I had very no expectations. And I got through the program and I knew that I wanted to come home and work in my area in Kitchener-Waterloo, where I was from. And I was lucky enough to secure an articling position at Giffen. It was called Giffen Lee at the time. And I'm proud to say that was 25 years ago.
Congratulations.
And I'm still at the same firm. And it's now called Giffen LLP. And I am a partner here. So have been a partner for many years. And I head up the family law department. So I often say that I am, because I'm a family law file, it didn't seem that it was so much of a stretch that I would eventually come into this practice area. So at the firm, when I came, I knew that I wanted to do litigation, which is going to court. And at the time, the firm was an insurance defense firm. That was
Okay.
primarily what the first focus was. And I said, great, sign me up. I will do that. They didn't have a strong family law presence. There was one lawyer who was doing family law in addition to insurance work. And so I came along and I did insurance because that's what everyone did. And I really didn't like it because I had difficulty really relating to the subject matter and to the people. And working for an insurance company was not really fulfilling my soul on
Right,
any
sure.
level. No offense to those who do that work.
Yeah.
I think it's important work, but for me, I had a lot of trouble with it. And I had asked the lawyer, I said, hey, do you think I could try family law? Do you think that would be something? And he said, sure. And promptly
Nice.
gave me his lesser, files that really weren't great. And I took them on and I just started one file at a time, one client at a time, until, I got to the point where all of a sudden I had this practice and it was family law and I
Wow.
didn't do insurance anymore and all I did was family. And that's my focus to this day. That's really the only practice area that I am working in. So I think that the experiences that I had growing up, they were very different. I mean, the separation when I was a child was very, very vastly different from what happened when I was 21, although technically still a child. Very, very
Yeah.
different experiences. But what I was left with from both of those, I think subconsciously, was this understanding that resolution is very, very important. And helping people get to a resolution of these very difficult issues is really at paramount. And
Yeah.
that's something that I have adopted, I guess, as a result of what I've gone through, this focus on really trying to get people to resolve their matters.
And I think lived experience is huge. It's undervalued, and it really needs to not be, because when someone's lived through it as a child, as you have, and I know for myself, I didn't actually live through it as a child. My parents didn't get separated or divorced, but I lived through it as an adult. And as an adult, I can't speak for everyone, but I know for myself, I was shocked. I was shocked that I was in this situation. Like, I didn't ever expect to be. And of course, I'm the first one in my immediate family that was getting separated and divorced. So I'd already been through a breakup. It was more of a common law situation with a child. So that was difficult, but it was strangely less complicated because there was no marital contract and we hadn't lived together that long. And the individual I was partnered up with just kind of screwed off, kind of went off and did his own thing. So it was almost easier. I say that kind of, lightly, in the sense that certainly the child still impact is impacted by, a parent not being present in their lives. But for me, the divorce was a shock because I thought this time it was going to work. This time it was a marriage. This time it was with somebody stable, with someone who was a good provider and that sort of thing. So you don't really go into it. I mean, I'm assuming most people don't go into a marriage thinking about divorce. I would hope not. I certainly didn't. So when it all started to fall apart, I was like, I think I definitely stayed longer than I should have, which can grow resentment and frustration, bitterness. So then you go into the situation where you're like, okay, well, we'll get some counseling. And I'm going to give you a chance in a moment too to kind of throw out any other suggestions you may have prior to seeing a lawyer. But I know for us, we did the counseling. We did, what we could in the moment, what we were capable of doing to try and fix our relationship. And it didn't work. So we did end up going to see a lawyer. Are there any other tips that you may have for people prior to seeing a lawyer? Like, do you have any suggestions or resources?
I think that's a it's a tough question because it would really depend on where the parties or the person, let's say, if we are discussing it with looking at it from one of the parties' perspective, where they are at. So, and it also would depend on what are the issues in the relationship that they're dealing with, what are some of the challenges, and can those challenges be overcome, right? So
Yeah.
there's a lot of different things that are in there. So for example, if you are one of the parties in the relationship and your partner is struggling with mental health, addiction, anything of that nature, then when you're the other party, there's a certain set of things that you might want to consider. If you are the person who is struggling with those particular aspects, then there's another, so
Yes,
that's
yeah.
one thing we see a lot of. Financial, I mean, A lot of people are struggling with how they discuss their finances together. Sometimes they don't. And then when you said surprise, oh, surprise, we're breaking up. Oh, surprise, we're broke, right? Oh, surprise, we don't have anything. So I guess it depends on what the circumstances are of each party in this situation where the relationship is in trouble or in crisis. That would really inform what they should do. So, for example, if there's a financial issue and you're the party who has not had a lot of knowledge about your finances, you need to become informed, right? What are our bills? What's our debt? Who do we owe to? What are our monthly responsibilities? How much income do we have coming in? Where are we allocating the money that we have? What is an efficient or effective use of our resources? That's one aspect. If you're struggling with mental health and you're the person who's struggling, you seek help, right? Maybe that's something that your partner may have been asking you to do and saying, hey, I really wish you would see a therapist or a counselor or someone who has some credentials to assist you with this very difficult matter. Again, depending on the severity of whatever those issues are. And then, as you indicated, one of those options could be we go together and see a therapist so that we can discuss some of these issues. But it really depends on what those issues are and the severity of them and what else is going on in the family. I mean, sometimes it can just be family stress. Let's say you have children that are struggling with different things. You have financial pressure, you have job loss or a new job or crisis of conscience. I don't know which way to turn in my life, or I don't know what I want to do with the rest of my life. There could be health issues that are not mental health, but physical health that impact. What if there's a really devastating diagnosis in the family? So there are so many things that inform what goes on in family life and what can lead to stressors in a relationship, and then what can ultimately lead to the breakdown. And so one of the things that you talked about was that feeling of shock. You know, when you were confronted with your value system was and still is, hey, I'm in this for the long haul. I said my word, my yes word, my agreement word. That's my vow. And it is very crushing when that commitment that one party made is not being upheld by the other. And that is an emotional process as well. So there are so many things, you know, and as legal counsel, I have this opportunity where I'm just sort of parachuted in to a family when you have a crisis, right? Somebody has said the relationship is over, and I just sort of I'm invited into this mixture of what's going on. So, yeah, to answer
Do
your
you
question,
make those types of suggestions when you're in those moments where you say, have you tried everything, or do you just kind of step in and start playing the role that you're there to do?
It really depends. So it depends on the person. I do a lot of consultations. So before a party hires me, I will talk to them on the phone. And I try to understand where they're coming from, what their state of mind is regarding separation, and what it is that they might need. And sometimes, and I only have half an hour, right? So this has to be done sort of very quickly and kind of often intuitively, right? When I'm just sort of listening to them and trying to understand. So it really depends on the person. Some people call me and they're like, as you've indicated, stay too long, right? They're like, I'm ready. You know, what do I do? Sign me up, give me the papers. I'm just ready to, untie this knot and say goodbye, right? Those are ones that are easier. The problem in those matters is their partner may not feel the same way. Okay. So you're dealing with emotion one way or the other. Very rarely in 25 years have I encountered parties where both of them were just very happy to just untie and say goodbye and be civil and just put down their armor and say, we're just going to nicely play in the sandbox and you take yours and I'll take mine. And very rarely, unfortunately. So you've got that emotion. And then other times people are like what you've indicated, and they're the ones that are the shocked party. And in that context, I will tell them, do you have family support? Do you have someone to talk to? It would be a good idea. And I have a counseling service agency that I work with very closely in Kitchener-Waterloo that I would recommend. I don't know if I can say that.
Please do. If you do recommend them, I'm sure they would love the marketing.
They're very well known in our town by Peaceful Waters. is their organization. And the woman that I refer everyone to is Annette Hachaluba.
Nice.
And Annette is very highly regarded among our legal bar here in Waterloo Region, as well as by our courts, our judges. They often say to parties, you should go see Ms. Hachaluba in order to help. So I would say Annette does personal counseling, like individual parenting coordination, mediation, like everything. Their office does everything. So they're really good. So sometimes I would say to the person, you need to speak to someone individually. And then if they're calling and I'm not sure that I want to separate, I'm not sure what's happening, I tell them, get in touch with your finances, figure all of your money out, and maybe consider a therapist.
And I think that's the thing when we talk about preemptive behaviors. Like if you're just dating someone and you're seeing red flags and you're trying to paint them green, you need to recognize that everybody's going to come up and show up as they are. And if you try to make them someone they're not, you're at some point you're going to have to deal with that. And until someone and empowerment, not giving your power away. Like if one person's handling the finances and you don't know what's going on, you're giving a lot of your power away. And part of what I think is important in a partnership is communication. So if you start to learn how to communicate about what your needs and wants are, but in the relationship, whether it be mental, physical, or emotional, but also learn how to communicate early on about finances and share that obligation. It is a burden, but if it's shared between two people, not only is it less a burden on one, but that means you have more knowledge about what's happening. So we're going to talk more about this in a minute when we come back. And we will be right back with more mental resiliency tools and emotional intelligence skills with Mind, Body, Spirit on 88.7 The River, local radio at its best.